This morning to Isaiah chapter 43. One of the things the Father is speaking my heart about, and He wants to get in your hearts today, that how much He loves you, how much He loves your children, how much He loves all of those that have drifted away. All right. Before we get started, I want you to take it and I want you to look around a moment. And as a body, I want you to recognize or realize someone that's missing. And I want you to ask the Lord to put on your heart who you need to call. Now, I don't want some one person to call everyone, but I want everyone to call someone. Hello? You know? So just wherever the person the Lord lays in your heart, just give them a holler today and this week, and just let them know how important and how valuable they are. The adversary is constantly coming in to steal and to kill and to destroy, but God has come to give life in the abundance thereof. One of the things the Lord is speaking to my heart about is just as the Lord says He has loved us with an everlasting love in Jeremiah chapter 31, by His loving kindness He has drawn us. And His love draws us. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Lord's showing and doing some new things in my life. And I'm excited. I'm excited for new seasons. Amen. I know that I have an adversary. And I know what the Lord has called us for. And I know there's a whole army that's trying to stop what God's doing. But guess what? The army will lose. Because God's going to accomplish and do everything that He said He would do. Amen? And I'm looking at this, and the Lord, loves our family members, our loved ones, no matter where they're at. Hello? He reminded me even in chapter 11 in Romans when the Apostle Paul talks about how he broke off the natural branch and he grafted in the unnatural branch, how much more will He not graft back in the natural? And what God is saying to me is how much more He will even graft in the backslider. Amen? Those ones that have drifted away, that He's calling them back. And there's such a time that we're in right now, and this is what the Lord wants to give in your heart, get in your heart today. So look with me in Isaiah 43, verse number 4. The Word of God says, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons and daughters from far, my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So today, since we're starting this spring season, amen. And when I'm thinking about springing forth, I'm thinking about new life coming. As the flowers and the buds start springing from the ground, God is going to bring forth some new life. And He's called us to three things today, springing forth, to believe, to benefit, and to bestow. Amen? That's the three points I want to make today. So can we lift the word and make a declaration here today with me? Can we agree together, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Father, these people did not gather today to hear from me. They've gathered here today to hear from you. Now, Father, speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. May they recognize and have revelation and understanding how valuable they are to one another, to us, and to the kingdom of God. And Father God, when everything is said and done, all glory and honor will be unto you. And we'll never cease to give you all the praise and the glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Verse number 4 says, since thou was precious in my sight. Look to the one next to you and say, you're precious. Amen. You're precious. Now, sometimes as a guy, you say, well, that really isn't a guy word. You're asking me to turn to this guy next to me and say that he's precious. You can just turn to the guy next to you and say, man, you're all right. You're all right. Amen. Amen. One of the things that first I have here is to believe. I think one of the things that the Father wants to get in our hearts first and foremost to believe that we're dear and we're precious to him and that we matter and that whatever you may be going through in your life, it matters to the Father. Sometimes the devil tries to sow the seed of doubt into our heads that say that God doesn't care, but God says he cares. He says to us that to believe, I love what the John the Beloved wrote in John 3:2. I use it a lot. It's one of my, if you have favorites, or one of my favorite scriptures. It says, beloved, precious one, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. As my soul prospereth. Well, how does my soul prosper? By the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So as my soul prospers, my health prospers. Amen? Amen? So God said, hey, you're precious to me. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be a good health, even as your soul is prospering. Amen? So when I'm looking at this as to believe, look with me in Zechariah chapter 2, the prophet Zechariah. The thought is that I'm trying to get in our hearts today, first and foremost, to believe that you're precious, that you're dear, all right? That you're important to the Father, amen? That you have great value, that you have great worth. No matter what people have said, no matter what the world has done, no matter where you've been before, no matter what you got into, no matter what you picked up, God has a plan and a purpose in your life. And he says in Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me into the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're precious, or you're all right if you're a guy. And you're the apple of the Father's eye. Amen? In other words, you're a center point for him. That nobody's more important than you are to him. Amen? Not only are you precious and you're the apple of his eye, but in Malachi, he says you're like a jewel in his crown. Amen. And Malachi chapter 3, verse number 17. The word of God says this. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, wait a minute. What is he talking about? He's talking about those that have drifted away. He's talking about the Jew that was broken off, the branch that was broken off, that there's going to be a great return. He says that they're precious. They're the apple of his eye. They're like jewels, amen? And your family members and loved ones that have drifted away and are not serving the Lord, the Father is calling them back from the north, the south, and the east and the west, amen? They belong to him. They are precious to him. They're the apple of his eye. They're jewels in his crown. Amen. So he also says to us in 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. I don't know, sometimes I just need to know that I matter. How about you? Anybody else here? The Word of God says this. The Father doesn't say that we're not going to go through some things, and our family members and loved ones are going through some things that have pushed them away from the Lord, but his love, his everlasting love, and is drawing them back. In verse number 7 of 1 Peter, it says this, that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at his appearing. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Amen. So first and foremost, God wants us to believe today, to believe what? That we are precious to him. That our family members and our loved ones are precious to him. Amen. And he's calling them back. You know, when we believe, when we believe in God and his word, all of a sudden there's a benefit that comes with it. I love the benefits of the Lord. Many of you in your workplace, a part of your job that you took the job was about the fringe benefits that came with the job. Your health insurance, your 401k, your vacation, those things, that package that came not just with your income, but there was benefits. And God wants you to understand that there's benefits that come with being a child of God. Amen? Amen? That we walk in the favor of the Lord because he loves us like a father loves a son. And a father loves a daughter. I know as a dad, my heart was blessed last Sunday as I went, and my son and my daughter-in-law had their first service at Grace Covenant East, and it was a wonderful service. It was a great, they had like over 400 people there last week, and it was a good time. But just to witness my son serving the Lord, amen. Because what? Because the Father promised me my seed. Amen? Remember, the Father has promised you your seed to the second and third generation, to the fourth even. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, they belong to him. Amen? And that's just as the Spirit of God one day drew you. The Bible says, no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. And one day God drew you to his son. And the same manner he's going to draw our loved ones. He's ministered to their hearts even now. Amen. Sometimes they, like the prodigal, they got to get to the end of themselves. Amen. So they can turn to him. Amen. So secondly, let's look at the benefit in Psalm 68. Don't we just love God's word? I say, that was weak. Don't we just love God's word? Amen. In Psalm 68, he says, verse number 18, he says, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. Huh? Hello? Hello? I was a rebel. Any rebels in the house? Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. God's speaking to us all. He's not leaving anybody out. Amen. You know, I thought about it. Something I was expecting. I had all these people that were supposed to be here today to tell me to be here today. Maybe they couldn't handle the word that was coming today. I don't know. But you can. Say, look to your neighbor and say, hey, you can handle it. Hallelujah. God has a plan for us here today. He says that the Lord God may dwell among them. Now I love verse number 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Amen. Amen. So as we believe, we operate, we move from the benefits of God. In Psalms 91, because I was precious, honey, I don't mind if you call me precious. Oh, you have to add him to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse number 14 says, because he have set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. And I will set him on high because he have known my name. You know, the Bible says you train them up as a child, it will not depart from them. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Amen. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Amen. That's a promise of God. That's a benefit. And you know, the Bible says, the Word of God says this. He tells you and I. He says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, he reaps. So what I'm going to sow to the Father is honor. And as I'm sowing honor, guess what I'm reaping from him? Honor. How is he honoring me? He's honoring me when I ask for, I receive. What I seek, I find. When I knock, he opens the door. Amen. In other words, he's called us to honor him. He said, I will honor you with long life. Amen. And he says in John 12, 26, how do we do this? Listen to the words of Jesus. He says, if any man or woman... just recognize it, and when he's saying this, he's speaking to men, he's speaking to, it's an all-inclusive package, man, woman, okay? So he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Amen? I don't know about you, but we can't outgive him. I don't know about you, but he's been really good to me. Amen? Has he not been really good to you? Amen? Has he not been really good to you? Amen? Beverly's hand was swollen in her fingers. She couldn't move her fingers, and the Lord touched her hand, and amen. Amen. You know? Why? Because it's part of the benefit package we have with him. Why? Because we believe him at his word. When we believe, we benefit. I don't know about you, but he says in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse number 4. No, verse number 2. I'll just start there. Hello? The apostle says this, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, in this light, the apostle is writing about sexual fornication. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. It doesn't necessarily have to be intercourse. It's acts of sexual acts. Amen? And as we look at this, you know, somebody say, well, you don't need to talk about that. Yes, you do. Because God says you need to know the truth. It's the truth that makes us free. That everyone should know how to, wait a minute, I'm going to stop there. The Lord said go somewhere else. He says not only sexual fornication, but it's not sleeping with the opposite sex, but it's also sleeping with the world. When you sleep with the world, you're committing fornication against God. God says we're in this world, we're not of this world. God set us apart. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so many times we have the mentality, well, I want to try the car before I buy it. A true, holy, good marriage will be better waiting. Now, I can't talk to the ones that have already fallen. I'm talking to the young people and the ones that are listening to the website, though they don't step into this, that they don't do that thing, that they don't use themselves and abuse themselves, thinking that's what's going to satisfy them because it doesn't satisfy you. You know the true satisfaction comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. But he says there, not a lot of jumping up and down hallelujahs on that one. He says that everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or sexual acts, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who have also given unto us his Holy Spirit. God gave us this Holy Spirit so that we could do all things through Christ. Amen? Amen? Now, if we know and believe that God knows the beginning to the end, we've got to trust him in it. Amen? In other words, you know, he will keep us if we sustain and we allow him to minister to our lives and guide and direct us. Amen? This isn't popular preaching. It isn't popular. The Bible says in the last day, men will have itchy ears. And what itchy ears is hearing everything they want to hear. Everything's okay. It doesn't matter. The biggest deception in the body of Christ is I have Christ and I've been forgiven. Now I can do whatever I want. That's a lie from the pits of hell. It's no, I'm serving and I'm following Jesus. He's my example. Did Jesus do it? If Jesus didn't do it, I'm not supposed to do it either. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say amen. 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 You see, he says, when we believe how precious we are. See, the adversary tries to distort your beauty and tries to make your beauty in a different nature, that God created you perfect, and you don't have to do anything to win somebody. If they don't love you like you are, they're never really going to truly love you. If you have to do things to gain their love, then that's not love. That's imitation. Amen? God loves you. He says, hey, he says that you, if you believe him at his word, you will benefit. And then all of a sudden, things become bestowed upon us. 1 John 3. Woo! Glad I got over that. Glad I got past that one. Hallelujah. Can everybody just say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That God loves us so much, that we're so precious and we're so dear to him. And the adversary wants to distort that love. He wants to pervert that love. He wants to twist that love. And God's love is unconditional. Just as God's love is unconditional, God says we're to have that love for one another. Amen. Amen. I'll say as a young man, I didn't do everything that was right. I wasn't a perfect man. I was a backslider. I was a rebel. I did all kinds of stuff. But God's grace has come in. And just because I did some things, that didn't make any of them all right. Amen? And what God wants us to understand is God has greater and better things for us. And God wants you to understand how valuable you are and how precious you are and how dear you are. And listen to me. Listen to me. You cannot do anything whatsoever to change what has already happened in your life. God isn't going back to you looking in your history. What God says is today is a brand new day, and God wants to write a brand new story. Amen? He wants to write a brand new story. So there's no condemnation coming here to anyone. God wants you to know how much he loves you and how precious you are to him and how dear you are to him. And as you believe him and his word, there'll be all kinds of benefits that comes our way because of what he has bestowed upon you and I. And if we're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, the word of God says, "But what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, that doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You know, some people don't understand it. Our sanctification is a process. The Lord was sharing with me one day, it's like he's a renovator. He goes into a house. And when he comes into the house, the whole house is being renovated. And when somebody's looking at renovating a house, they don't go to every room. Most of the time, we're going to go one room at a time. Amen. And the Lord's going to come in and he goes to different rooms in our lives. Amen. And he ministers to our heart because he has a plan in that room. Amen. And so those things that the enemy is trying to do, he's trying to steal your value and your worth. He's trying to steal what you think, how you feel about yourself, the value, your self-worth. And he's a liar and the father of all lies. God says you're precious and you're dear. And he's got benefits for you if you trust him. That he wants to bestow his love upon you. And there's no better love than what comes from the Father. I cannot love my wife anything like the Father loves her. Because guess what? I'm still walking in the flesh. There's times when I act like Carl, and there's sometimes I act like a man of God. Right? That keeps her praying for me, right? So in Ephesians chapter 2, are we having fun yet? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it gets warm in the kitchen. I cooked something for the first time yesterday. I haven't cooked in a really long time. I made something yesterday, and I've come to the realization that I'm not a good cook, so I'm not going to try it too much. I had an idea. I had this steak that we had steak the night before, and I had this idea. I wanted to make it crispy, so I didn't know how to make it crispy because I just wanted to use grease. So I fried up all this bacon, and then I took the grease and I sliced the steak up, and I I fried it in the grease. So, yeah. So then I had greasy steak and greasy bacon. But you would think out of all that, being that meal, I'd at least got some greasy hair, but I didn't have enough hair to grease. I'm just kidding. But the Father bestows his love upon us. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, Pam, pray for me because I know that probably wasn't a healthy meal that I cooked. Probably not. All right. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Listen to me. Get a hold of this. We're talking to the rebellious. We're talking about the backslider. We're talking about our sons and our daughters, our family members, our loved ones, that he is drawing back, that he's calling back. He says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you were saved. It's amazing grace. Quicken comes from the Greek word, it's zoupoio, which means to make alive. So those family members and loved ones and ourselves, even when we are dead in sins, by his grace, he's making us alive. He's bringing life back to you and I and to our family members and to our loved ones. Why? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul said, for by grace you were saved by faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is saying today that he's drawing our loved ones back to him. I don't know. That gets me excited. Amen. The ones he's really drawing and the ones he's really speaking to, the ones that are saying they're in Christ, but they're not really. Hello? Because you can't abide in him unless his word abides in you. You know, so he's called us. He's called everyone to a body. Let's see where we want to go here. Look with me in 1 John chapter 4. I just want to be closing with this. He says, verse number 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. It's no longer I that's living, it's Christ that's living in me, right? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And what the Father is saying to me, he's drawing the sons and the daughters from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And they're going to come in with all kinds of different issues and things. And God says that we're to love them and accept them just as they are. God says to you and I, do not forget where I found you. Do not forget what you were like when I came to meet you. You know, it was a process. God is transforming us into his image. Amen? But it's that sanctification, I said, is a process. And so God is drawing them. But God is saying to you and I, hey, first and foremost, we have to believe. We have to believe in this room today. Listen to me. You have to believe that you matter to the Lord. You have to believe that you have great value and great worth. No matter what has taken place, no matter what someone's done, no matter what happened against you, God can heal you at that. God can restore everything the enemy came to steal. Amen? He said that as we believe, we'll begin to benefit. And as we get benefit, this is what he's saying. That love that he's bestowing on you and I, his love will begin to be bestowed on others. Hello? We're living in a world where they really need some pure, true love. Because love is, like I said, love has been perverted and confused, and it's not real love. This isn't love. This is love. This is love. So what he is saying to us in closing today is James chapter 4. He says to you and I today, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You know what humility is? It's saying I need to have a need when I have a need versus saying everything's okay. Hello? If it's not okay, it's not okay. And God is saying his grace is being poured out to you and I today. His love is being poured out to you and I today because we matter to him. That you have value and great worth. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Father is saying to you and I today is simply this, that if you believe that you will benefit from the love that God wants to pour out to you today. I'm not here to look at what's wrong in your life. I'm here to tell you that God can take those wrong things and he can make them right. That he can turn things around. But it takes us just trusting in him. We cannot do it. We were never created to do it. God knew from the very beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden that man could not do it. That's why Christ went to the cross. That's why he gave us his spirit so that we could do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for sending your word to minister to every heart and every life of each and every one of us in this room. There's something that you want to minister to with every life in the room. Spirit of the Lord, as we come before you humble today, Father, we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. You said if we humble ourselves, you would exalt us in due season. So now, in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God is convicting in an area in your life. And that area in your life, he wants to give you help. If you believe, you will benefit because God's love is being bestowed on you today. And I'm going to close this service a little different today. And I'm just asking you to be obedient to the Word of God and to trust Him. I ask for you just to take a moment. God's going to call for some action today. If you have an area in your life where you're suffering, you have an area in your life that you've been trying to have victory over, but you just couldn't have victory. It just stays there. God says today he calls for you and I to bring it to the altar. So I ask for you to come up, get up from your chairs today and come to the altar. Would you please? Come and kneel at the altar on the front row. Now I want you to get down. I want you to go around the altars. Kneel around the altars. God is the healer. God is the deliverer. I can't forgive your sins, and I can't forgive your those things. It's up to the Father.